Good morning, church family. Let's continue worshiping together. Let me encourage you to take your copy of the scriptures and turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be looking at a couple of verses to start things off in Joshua 1. And then, if you'd like, you can go ahead and get your finger ready in Matthew 21. We're also going to look at a couple of verses just to kick things off in Matthew. So in just a minute, when I ask you to stand, we'll be reading some verses out of Joshua and Matthew. But everything will be on the screen behind me for your reference. We are reading the Bible through as a church family. We're reading it through chronologically. And if you are still following along with the plan, bless you. We ended Joshua yesterday and turned the page to that glorious book called Judges. And it's going to be a fun week reading about the book of Judges. To help you, I have written, just for the church at West Franklin, a Holy Week devotional that is available to you. It is in the lobby area. Feel free to take a copy. And my goal was two or threefold. My goal was to write a small devotion based on the reading for the day and somehow, some way, try to connect it to some of the events in Jesus' life, the last week of his life. So I don't know if I was successful or not. If you think I was, tell me. If not, don't. But if you're interested in a Holy Week devotional guide that follows along with the reading plan, I encourage you to get a copy. All right? Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 after you stand with me in honor of God's word. So just track with me as I read these verses, and if you'd like to flip along, you certainly can do that. Joshua 1, beginning with verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you." Verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." If you would, turn the page or two to Joshua chapter 6. Look at verse 20. Joshua 6, verse 20. "So the troops shouted, and the trumpets sounded. When they heard the blast of the trumpet, the troops gave a great shout, and the wall collapsed." Well, if you turn to Matthew 21, wouldn't be Palm Sunday if we didn't read a little bit about Palm Sunday. Verse 6 of Matthew 21. Ah, that sound. Pages rustling. It's like angels' wings. Verse 6, Matthew 21, "The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and its foal, and they laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in an uproar, saying, 'Who is this?' The crowds were saying, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee.'" And one final text I'll call your attention to is Matthew chapter 27, in the middle of verse 23. Matthew 27, in the middle of verse 23. "But they kept shouting all the more, 'Crucify him.'" Jesus, help me to make sense of these words. As we come to the table in a little bit, may there be connections made so that when we partake of the bread and the cup, there would be a lot of relief in our soul. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. In 1959, the Isley Brothers wrote a song that made everybody want to lift your hands up and throw your head back and kick your heels up and hey, 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 hey. Only in a Southern Baptist church can I say that and be like, oh, shout, shout, shout. I believe there's a connection between Joshua and Holy Week with shouting. Tuesday of this past week, there was a prison outbreak in Idaho. There was an inmate whose name was Skylar Mead. He had a strategy, a plan, and it worked for a little while. While he was in jail in Idaho, he had concocted a plan to injure himself so badly that he would require hospital attention. You're desperate when you hurt yourself, so you have to go to the hospital. But he and another friend, I don't know how they did this, devised it to when he got hospital care and was transferred back from the hospital to the prison, they would steal guns and shoot. That was their strategy. That was their plan. That was their blueprint. And it worked. On the way back from the hospital to the prison, several cops were seriously injured. And Skylar Mead and his friend got away for less than 48 hours. Now they're back in jail. Probably worse off than before. To be victorious, to be free, to overcome, you got to have a strategy. There's got to be a plan. There's got to be a game plan. Tell me how we're going to do this. Let's lay it out. I mean, it's like this in all sorts of different things in life. Well, I don't know if you caught it or not, but in Joshua chapter 1, Moses, the patriarch, had died. The one who had led them out of Egypt, the one who had gone on the mountain and gotten the Ten Commandments, the one who led them as they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, his time was done. New guy was in charge, Joshua. God had commissioned him not to wander anymore. That time was over, but God had commissioned him to lead Israel to take the promised land. It's time to fight. No more wandering. Let's take them down, that land of Canaan, the promised land, Jericho. It's ours. Do you notice the strategy for how they're going to take down the land? It ain't there. There's not one. You read Joshua chapter 1 and you think, there's a new leader in town. It's time to take the land. What's the strategy for overcoming these guys? Not there. As a matter of fact, it's very, very frustrating if you're a strategy kind of person, a battle plan kind of person, a blueprint, a game plan kind of person. If you read Joshua, you're going to look in vain. Maybe a couple of times there's a couple of strategies in place, but it is mentioned only minuscule amount of times. There's really no strategy. You're going to take the land, Joshua. How? You'll see. Look at it with me again. Put your eyes on verse 6. See if you see it with me. You can just imagine Joshua thinking, oh, I've got a bunch of troops. I've got some military guys. They're ready to fight. It's time. We've been wandering for 40 years. It's time. Let's take them down. Verse 6. Joshua, or God to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. I get it, God. It's time. It's time. You've given it to us. How's it going to happen? Verse 7, above all, be strong and very courageous. You just said that, but there's a second time. That's fine. To observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Okay, read the law. Know what Moses said. Okay, good. I'm fine. Do not turn from it to the right or the left so that you will have success wherever you go. Awesome. Read the Bible. Know the Bible. Don't turn from the right or the left. I'll be successful. Great. What else? Verse 8, this book of instruction instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Okay, that's the third time you've said that now. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's it. Hey, Joshua, you're in charge now. Jericho's an incredible land, a lot of people, big people. It's time to take them down. Okay, great. How? Listen to me. Meditate on my word. Fill your mind with me, my word. Listen to it. Talk it out. Verbalize it. Think it through. Obey. Worship. Make sure, God would say to Joshua, I am the supreme being in your life. That's the strategy. That's it. Obey God. Victory is won or lost in your faith in whether God will do what he said he's going to do. That's where victory is won or lost. But what am I supposed to put some troops around here? Am I supposed to listen to what they're supposed to do? Am I, maybe here, maybe here, maybe here, maybe. Don't look for the military strategy. Look, Joshua, for what I'm going to do. The battle is won or lost by your obedience and your faith in whether or not I'm going to be who I said I'm going to be. And we hate that. I mean, we love it here on Sunday morning and Palm Sunday. Of course, I'm going to read the word. I'm going to trust God. But don't you want a plan? Any control freaks up in the room? Look at everybody looking at their spouses. I'll pray for your marriage. I've got a 2 p.m. open tomorrow afternoon if you need counsel. We're like, yeah, meditate on the word. Trust God. Know God. Obey God. Worship God. What are we supposed to do? That. It's all fun and games till we don't have a plan. Till we're not in control. God's ways aren't our ways, are they? God's plans are not our plans. God does things the way we wished he wouldn't. We find out later they're the best, but at the time, we wished he'd do it a different way. So they crossed the Jordan River, kind of like they did the Red Sea. It's a fascinating story, the first few chapters of Joshua. And then they get to Jericho. You remember how they conquered Jericho? This is the audience participation portion of our program. I encourage you to go back and read Joshua chapter 6. It's fascinating. But if I was a troop, I probably would have been really confused and maybe a little mad if I had signed up to go beat up some people. Been wandering for 40 years carrying this sword. It's time. God says, trust me. All right. Remember how it happened. God told Joshua to tell the troops, I want you to march around Jericho 6 times, 1 time per day for 6 days. And you got to know the troops were like, boy, they're going to see us. They're going to be scared. We're going to shake our swords. They're going to hear it rattling 6 days in a row. And then Joshua said, on the 7th day, here's what God said. On the 7th day, I want you to march around 7 times. Get your steps in. The Bible doesn't say that. I just put that in. Go around 7 times. And you know they were like, what are we going to do? Because that's the day of completion, the day of wholeness. It's time. 6 times we march around, get them all scared. 7th day we march around 7 times. What's going to happen after we march 7 times? There's going to be a priest, and he's going to have a ram's horn. He's going to blow it. And you know, they're like, woo! He's going to blow the ram's horn, and here we go. Yeah, we're going to fight. God says, now here's how you're going to do it. As soon as you hear the ram's horn, shout. Excuse me. Yes, holler. Yell. You know what they did? They marched around 7 times and they heard the priest blow the ram's horn. You know what happened when they shouted? And the walls came tumbling down. If you know that song, you've been in church way too much. Just kidding. We don't like that strategy. I mean, sure, the result's good, but you got to know there were some troops that were upset. You want me to march and shout? I want to fight. The only thing you want us to do is march and shout? Yeah. What was the point? God's strategy is usually, it's not you doing it. It's God doing it. Don't you know 30, 40 years later, a grandson found out that his granddad was there that day, was a troop in Israel's army. Can you imagine that conversation? Granddad, would you tell me how it happened? Because I heard that Jericho was big and mighty and had huge walls, and there were a lot of big people in there, a lot of armies, and I heard that God helped Israel attack it. Would you tell me the story? And you just know Granddaddy was so excited to tell his grandson the story. And he said, yeah, I'll be glad to tell you. You listening? Yeah. God told us to march around the city 13 times, one time a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around it seven times. You can just imagine grandson. And then on the seventh time, God said that there's going to be a priest that blows a horn. It was a ram's horn. Okay. And then you know what we did, grandson? What? What'd you do? Did you take them? Did you show your might? Was Israel stronger than the other people? We shouted. Wait. What? We hollered. Well, granddaddy, it doesn't sound like you did very much. You're right, I did. God did it. What was the strategy? How'd you get victory? It was belief in God being who he said he was. Meditate on him. Know him. Worship him. Obey him. That's the strategy. Your victory is won or lost in whether or not you believe God is who he says he is. Your victory is won or lost in whether or not you obey God. It's a weird strategy. Shouting. Fast forward 1,700 years. Don't worry, I Googled it. There's about 1,700 years between the taking of Jericho and the first Palm Sunday. Everybody was so excited in Jerusalem. For 3 years, this guy named Jesus of Nazareth had been doing some remarkable things and saying some incredible things, and it was time, and everybody was getting started. Almost everybody, the religious leaders were kind of in a wad, but everybody else, all the other Israelites, were so excited because they believed it was time. It's him! And he's coming from the sheep gate into Jerusalem on a donkey, kind of like a prophecy, it said. It's him! And they believed that Jesus of Nazareth was their Messiah. But they had a different strategy than he did. Because they were hoping that he would help them fight to overcome Roman rule. Ha-ha! The Messiah, it's him. He is going to help us finally defeat the Romans. He's going to summon his troops, and we're going to say, we're ready to fight. We're ready to take down the Romans. Put us in. Yes, yes, it is time for Israel to be in charge again. And you are the Messiah. They even got palm branches. That's why we call it Palm Sunday. But be careful waving the branches. If you know your history, it's like waving a separatist flag. Imagine waving a flag on January 6th, 2021. Insurrection, you're him. Take down Rome. And then they shouted. Hosanna! Which means save now. Hosanna! Jesus said, they better shout. The religious leaders didn't like it, but Jesus said, go ahead and let them shout. If not, these rocks will cry out. It's him. God's strategy is for us to follow this leader and take down the Romans, take their lives, and restore power to where it should be. Oops. They didn't like God's real strategy. 5 days later, they shouted something else. Why? They wanted him dead just 5 days later. Get this, West Franklin. This is not the way of most countries, but it's the way of Jesus. They wanted someone who would help them trample. Jesus came and was trampled. They wanted someone to help them conquer. The way of Jesus is to be conquered. They wanted someone to ride in on a white horse. Jesus came in riding on a donkey. They wanted to march and fight. Jesus was telling them, no, you march and shout. Whoa. You know what happened when they were shouting, crucify, don't you? That's what they shouted 5 days later. Kill him, crucify. You know what was happening. They didn't know it at the time, but the walls were coming down. The walls were crumbling. Not the walls of Jericho. Not the Roman walls. The eternal walls of separation between us and God. Their shouts of Hosanna, even though totally misguided and a gross misunderstanding, and their shouts of crucify him, even though they didn't understand it, it was happening. And as it happened, their shouts were declarations of God's plan to redeem the world. They wanted power. Jesus gave up power. Strategy. Joshua, obey God, listen to God, follow God, meditate on God and His Word. By the way, I don't think for a second that God delivered Israel into, God saw that Israel was victorious simply because Joshua read the Bible. I think Israel was successful because Joshua knew the God of the Bible. There's a big difference. Joshua didn't read his Bible every day just so he could check it off the list. Joshua meditated on it so he would know the God who was leading him. Now, what's your strategy for beating sin? What's your game plan for being close to God? What's your strategy for entering into the promised land? When you blow it, well, maybe you don't blow it, but maybe you know somebody sitting next to you that blows it. When you blow it, what's your go-to plan? I'm gonna read my Bible more. I'm gonna pray harder. I'm gonna white knuckle it. I'm gonna wake up in the morning. I'm gonna tell God how sorry I am, and I'm gonna write out 10 resolutions. Never going to do it again. That's my strategy. That's my battle plan. Is that how you approach it? What's your strategy? I don't think Joshua obeyed God so he would get God to like him. I think he obeyed God because he knew who God was. You know what Joshua's name means? Some of you know it. Yahweh saves. Not Joshua saves. Not Israel saves. Yahweh saves. Those walls went down and they participated in it by shouting, but God did it. What's your strategy? Is it you save yourself? Is it you fix it? Or is it believing that only Yahweh saves? I don't know if you've ever seen this satirical website called Hard Times, but they had a headline this week that caught my attention. Family Bible passed down for 5 generations hasn't been read in 5 generations. I thought it was funny. Try that one another time sometime, maybe. It's funny, but it's sad. Could it be that we try to come up with our own strategies to fight sin and be victorious in life because we don't know the God of the Bible? We white-knuckle it. Maybe we're like Skylar Meade. He's got a plan! But 2 days later, we find ourselves back where we were. You know the strategy? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't fix it. He already did. If your strategy is to put the onus on you, you will fail. If your strategy is to trust that the crucified one died and rose again, and that's your victory over sin, you win. What's your strategy? We're going to come to the table. I'm going to ask the deacons to go ahead and make their way forward. We're going to pass out these elements in just a minute. Maybe you need to shout something to your soul this morning. A whole lot of shouting in Joshua, a whole lot of shouting in Matthew. And maybe you need to say something to your soul. Maybe you need to say, quit trying to do it yourself. Trust in the crucified one. Trust in the one who God raised from the dead. Believe on him. We don't like that strategy sometimes because we want to fix it. But maybe you need to shout to your soul. There's only one way for it to be fixed, and that's in Christ. In just a moment after I pray, these men are going to come around, and there's two cups in one. There's bread at the bottom, and there's juice at the top. I'm going to ask you to hang on to that until everyone's gotten it. Brad and his team are going to lead in a song of worship. You meditate, pray however you like. You may want to read Joshua 1, Joshua 6, Matthew 21, Matthew 27. You may just want to sit and pray. Maybe evaluate, okay, what is my strategy? Is it to do it on my own or is it to trust in the one God provided? The goal here is so that when it's done and you've been with God and you remember that you can't fix yourself and only he can, the goal is to make you want to shout. Because he does. Jesus, be pleased with our worship. And lead our souls to shout a shout of praise.